Hello, everybody, and welcome to Gaza Guy Podcast with me, Mao Musa from Gaza. My guest today on Gaza Guy Podcast is Diana Napolsi. She is a graduate of Columbia University School of Public and International Affairs. She received her master's degree in international affairs, concentrating in human rights and humanitarian policy, specializing in international conflict resolution with a focus on the Arabic language. First and foremost, Diana is Palestinian. She's a Palestinian living in the diaspora, and she truly misses her homeland, and was great to see how deep her love for her homeland is through my conversation with her. Enjoy listening to Gaza Guy Podcast from Gaza.
And I don't know, I feel like a deep connection to Palestine. Even when I was living in Texas, where being Palestinian was like a very bad thing, I was still very vocal about it and very like, I would never shut up about it.
What do you miss the most about Palestine?
I miss my grandfather's house in Nablus. The way that I love the views of the mountains, especially right at sunset. I miss Kayak, Minutz. I miss my grandma. I miss my family. I miss my grandma's olive tree.
I'm fine, alhamdulillah. Thanks for asking though. Wow, the flag is shining now.
I have at least 2 Palestinian flags in my house at all times.
Why 2? Why not 1?
Just in case I need to take one to go.
Where do you take it?
Protest.
So, Diana, this is Mo, the host of Gaza Guy Podcast. It's an honor to have you on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
How would you like to introduce yourself, Diana, to the listeners of Gaza Guy?
I recently just graduated in May from Columbia with a master's. I, before that, wanted to do pre-med, but with Trump getting elected and all of the political climate in the world, I really couldn't concentrate on medicine. So I switched paths to human rights. And now I live in New York. I'm looking for a job. I'm working part-time in retail right now, but I'm just trying to find a job within the human rights field and international conflict resolution. I go to Palestine every summer, except this summer because of COVID. I'll be diamond for Palestine.
I invited you to the podcast, as I told you, to get to know you also.
I was born here in the U.S., بس كل صيف نرجع على فلسطين. So أهل أبوي ساكنين في القدس, أهل أمي ساكنين في نابلس. So I'm used to going every year for the past 26 years back to فلسطين. هاي السنة الوحيدة اللي I'm not able to go back. It's my home, you know. We have an apartment in Jerusalem, and I've spent probably the accumulation of years there. I don't know, I feel like a deep connection to Palestine. Even when I was living in Texas, where being Palestinian was like a very bad thing, I was still very vocal about it and very like, I would never shut up about it.
We shouldn't though. Even if they would consider it like unrightful, as they say, to be Palestinian, to keep questioning you about your existence. We shouldn't stay silent anyway. What do you miss the most about Palestine?
I miss my grandfather's house in Nablus. The way that I love the views of the mountains, especially right at sunset. I miss Kayak, Minadutz. I miss my grandma. I miss my family. I miss my grandma's olive tree. I don't know if you know this actually, but my little brother, Wasim Nablusi, he has a book of poetry that he published. It's called Under My Grandmother's Olive Tree.
No, unfortunately.
I can get you a copy of it, no problem. It's...
Be honored though.
Me and my siblings, I have two siblings. I have one little brother and one little sister. And although, you know, when we're young, we try to not deny that we're Palestinian, but we don't bring it up as a
You know. To avoid unnecessary discussions though.
Yeah, but that's when we're younger, right? So my sister is getting out of that phase now. She's 17. But alhamdulillah, now she's like speaking out and I'm really proud of her. Akhoy, he's 21 now. And basically every time we go to the mall, there are always those Israeli companies selling like Dead Sea mineral lotions. My brother never misses an opportunity to walk by them and be like, I don't buy from apartheid states. Thank you very much.
Wow. That's beautiful. Like, even though that we Palestinians, like, you weren't born in Palestine, but if you have that, the roots inside you from your parents, you still have that love inside of you for where you belong.
Yeah. It's definitely a fire because I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I feel like all Palestinians are a little bit angry.
No, it's not angry, but it's tiring that always you are in the place of being defensive. You have to defend your rights. You have to defend your existence. Like, you can't find a lot of people suffering or going through what we are going through when somebody is questioning your existence. Like, that's inhuman. That will make you angry.
Yeah, and I found myself being angry a lot when I was younger, like in my teen years, in my early 20s. I'm 26 now, but I still find myself angry because our whole existence is a political statement. We cannot live without somebody accusing us of being political. Everything has to be political around the Palestinian people. We can't just live. Everything that we live, breathe, eat is being stolen by Israel. And what's more is that people just blindly accept it because they don't want to be portrayed as anti-Semitic. That's a really big problem here in the US, thinking that being against Jewish people is the same as being against Israel, which is not it. It's hard to get people to realize that.
Yeah, the difference between anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. People don't understand that, don't get that. Even people in Jerusalem are suffering badly from Zionists. And never ever people questioned how unjust Zionism is, how unjust Zionists are. Like, that what they are doing, there are terrorist actions, actually. Why the world are not speaking about that? But when a Palestinian or someone who is not Palestinian and defending the Palestinian cause, they will blame him this and that and tie this and that. Never it was just or equal or fair for us, even when we defend ourselves. Yeah, everything is good. How you nourish that love for your homeland? Yeah.
Through art.
Do you do art?
Keeping the culture alive. I try to. I bought this piece of artwork actually from somebody who went to Palestine. It's a print. It's a quote from Mahmoud Darwish.
على هذه الأرض.
It's one of my favorites. But art, music, culture, yani I'm learning how to do tatriz online. Everything in my house, yani min Palestine. I have Nablusi soap, I have الأزاز من الخليل. عندي يعني everything in my house always reminds me of فلسطين. And a lot of people when they come to my house, they're like, oh, I feel like I'm in فلسطين again.
That's brilliant, actually. That's a brilliant when you buy local Palestinian products made by Palestinians. I think that's an amazing way of showing support for the Palestinians too. So it's always a great way to show support to your homeland, to your people by buying their products.
Absolutely. And not just that, but I also encourage people to buy Palestinian things. And you know, when I was at Columbia, I helped organize a trip to Palestine, actually. So last January in 2020, there was a group of students from my school at Columbia, and we went on a trip to Palestine. We went to Ramallah, Beit Lahem, Al-Quds, all over Daffa. You know, a lot of people, they realized يعني فلسطين is not the way that it seems on the news. يعني في المرة, like it's amazing to transform people's views like that just by showing them that what we're saying actually has truth to it. A lot of people, they just have to take our word for it, right? In America, because they're just like, oh, what we see on the news is different. Palestine is like a non-existent place. But then, you know, you start to educate them. And even me, who lived in a very small town in Texas when I grew up, where everyone was a supporter of George W. Bush, I managed to educate a lot of people about Palestine, though. And those people are forever like Palestinian advocates, even though I was probably the only Palestinian they ever met in their life. Being able to influence people small scale like that, it makes a huge difference.
I believe so. And I also, I was talking to you when the connection interrupted, that I feel the heavy burdens on your shoulders, Palestinians living in the diaspora, when they have to explain not once or twice what is happening in Palestine, or if something is happening in Palestine to the people out there. Like, you need to explain to a lot of people, a number of people, about Palestine and about what is going on in Palestine. So that the issue for you is a continuous struggle. It's not just once or twice, it's always there, and you shouldn't get tired of it.
No, I mean, you know, there are some times when I wish people would just educate themselves, but at the same time, I can't expect anyone to find this stuff on the internet, right? Because the internet is not skewed towards us.
Censored.
Yes, exactly. And I don't know, when I obviously none of my friends are imperialists or anything like that. We're all very like people of color supporting other people of color and anti-colonization, anti-imperialist. We're all very like شويه communist. It's okay. When it comes to Palestine, Palestine is a great way to judge somebody's moral compass. Even politicians, anybody in like social media, anybody, like that is the one way, in my experience, to judge whether they have a good head on their shoulders. And a lot of the time, like, do you know the actor Mark Ruffalo?
Yeah, who's playing the Hulk?
Yes. So
I've his comments. I've watched his comments on Palestine and what is going on.
Yes.
Beautiful.
He's been pro-Palestine for years now.
Wow.
And, you know, it really makes a difference between him and, say, do you know who Pharrell Williams is, the singer?
Who's I think he did something in Israel.
He held the fundraiser for the IDF.
That's terrible. But there was a campaign against him and what he was doing at that time, and it was successful, actually. I think he realized the terrible act that he was part of.
He still does it though. He still supports the IDF Fikir. And
Well, our job is to raise awareness. If you listen, exactly, it shows how human you are and how you are against injustice in the world. But if you are with injustice, if you are with occupation, if you are with oppression, that is up to you, actually. That defines who you are. If you are an actor, actress, singer, whatever. Mm-hmm. How would you define home, Diana?
I agree.
If we're talking about home, like if we could define home, how would you define it?
My idea of home is very weird because for me, my idea of home is just where I can be comfortable and eat all my favorite foods. Eating is my number one comfort, especially now.
What's your favorite food though?
Bakhiya.
I like it.
Bakhiya, ahsan shi. Ma kteer kteer ton. It's my favorite thing. My second favorite is
without garlic. To me, without garlic.
Without?
I try to take it out. Like when mom adds it to it, I try to take it out.
No. The garlic is the best part of the bakhiya.
What else?
Bakhiya, ورق دوالي, كسوة, مقلوبة. I mean, everything my mom cooks is gold. It's ambrosia. But for me, home is above all where I can be comfortable, where I am at ease and I don't feel as angry. بس كمان يعني فلسطين, it's weird because for me, this is my home here in New York, but my parents also live in Texas, so I have a home in Texas. بس كمان شقتنا في القدس, يعني
is it empty?
It's also home to me. And whenever I go,
Is it empty in Jerusalem?
Yeah. So my grandmother owns the building and my whole dad's side of the family lives there. And we have one of those apartments. Usually we'll rent it out when we haven't been there for a while. But عشان COVID ما في كتير ناس, they're trying to rent a lot.
Talking about Jerusalem, do you have any stories regarding the continuous injustice that they're going through, which is stealing their houses, for example?
I mean, yeah, like I'm sure you remember the news story of the guy who was running away. He had autism and he was running away and he got shot in the Old City. That was my grandmother's niece's son.
Wow.
Yeah, so we actually knew their family very well. My parents are both doctors, so like anybody with disabilities in the family, and that was just heartbreaking. يعني, I mean, every day something in Palestine happens that's heartbreaking. But
I think even people who don't know him at that time, even me personally, were touched by what happened to him. Like, but the problem that they do not differentiate between autistic person or a normal person, everybody is a target for them.
Yeah, and it doesn't, يعني, this is part of the thing that Israel does, is like they pretend like they are so progressive and liberal with LGBTQ, with, you know, people with disabilities, with people of other races, but really they're not. It's only when it benefits them. And it's never for the Palestinians. يعني, if there was an LGBTQ Palestinian trying to come out to their family in Palestine, Israel would out them to put them in harm, not try to save them, because that's not their prerogative. They're not trying to save any Palestinians. They're trying to get rid of them all.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. And يعني, we have my cousin who was supposed to inherit the land right next to my family, right next to my aunt after she got married, is now being taken away because they have to give it to Israel now.
Jerusalemites and their houses too are targets for the Israeli army. They want to wipe them away from existence, like to make the whole scene Israeli, filled with Israeli people. And I know how hard they fight to stay in their homes, to not leave their homes. And it's not easy. It's not easy at all. I know they're still struggling and they will struggle. Unless the world has something else to say.
No, I mean, they always, the house next to my great aunt in El Utz, their house got smoked out of their house. They literally built a fire around their house to get them to come out of their house so they could leave the house.
They've done something uglier than this, actually.
Oh yeah, I know. This isn't even the worst thing that they've done, but something that I saw firsthand and I was like, شو هالخرا؟ شو هال... I don't know. كل مرة برجع على فلسطين, there are new settlements.
Increasing.
And nothing made me angry.
Yeah.
Because I know what it looked like when I was little. Even when I was little, there were settlements. بس لما كنت 4-5 سنين, Palestine seemed bigger to me, right? Like, I mean, obviously, when you're young, everything seems bigger to you. But you can definitely see the noticeable change in the land between 2002 and 2020. Hala. Like the number of settlements have
increased. Increased, bringing immigrants from Ethiopia, as I remember lately.
Yeah, I know. And then, and then there are restaurants here in New York. I went to this restaurant the other day that I thought was an Ethiopian place.
Yeah.
They are Ethiopian Israeli. The thing is not that many years ago, they were forcibly sterilizing all Ethiopian women because they didn't want black Jewish children.
Yeah. And they're still fighting them there.
Boost the idea that it's a Jewish homeland and that the Palestinians are trying to take that.
Yeah. Become a supporter of Gaza Guy podcast. You can support this podcast with a small donation to help sustain future episodes. Support Gaza Guy through anchor.fm/GazaGuy/support or visit our Instagram page Gaza Guy and click on the link in the bio. Gaza Guy from Gaza.